नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नश्य प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
chapter is titled as the residence of Jambudvipa offer prayers. We're reading from verse number 4.
Vadanti Vishvam Kavayasmanashwaram
Vadanti Vishvam Kavayasmanashwaram
Pashyanti Chadhyatma Vido Vipaschitaha तथापि मुह्यन्ति तवाज
मायया
सुविस्मितं कृत्यमजं नतोस्मितं वदन्ति विश्वं कवयस्मन स्मनश्वरम् पश्यन्ति चाध्यात्मविदो विपश्चितः तथापि मुह्यन्ति तवाज
मायया
सुविस्मितं कृत्यमजं नतोस्मितम् वदन्ति विश्वं कवयस्मनश्वरम् पश्यन्ति चाध्यात्मविदो विपश्चितः तथापि मुह्यन्ति तवाज
मायया
सुविस्मितं कृत्वा त्यमजं नतोस्मितम्
वदन्ति दे सेड अथॉरिटेटिवली विश्वम् द एंटायर मटेरियल क्रिएशन कवयः ग्रेट लर्न्ड सेजेस स्म सर्टनली नश्वरम् पेरिशबल Pashyanti, they see in trance, cha, also, Adhyatma Vidaha, who have realized spiritual knowledge, Vipaschita, very learned scholars, Tatha Api, still, Mohyanti, become illusioned, Tava, your, Aja, O unborn one, Mayaya, by the illusory energy, Suvismitam, most wonderful.
Krityam,
activity.
Ajam,
unto the supreme unborn one.
Natas
asmi, I offer my obeisances. Tam,
unto him.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. In trance, they realize the factual position of this world and they preach the truth as well. Yet, even they are sometimes bewildered by your illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Not only does the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead act on the conditioned soul within this material world, but sometimes it also acts on the most advanced learned scholars who factually know the constitutional position of this material world through realization. As soon as someone thinks, I am this material body, aham mameti, and everything in relationship with the material body is mine, he is an illusion, moha. This illusion caused by the material energy acts especially on the conditioned souls, but it sometimes also acts on liberated souls as well. A liberated soul is a person who has sufficient knowledge of this material world and is therefore unattached to the bodily conception of life. But because of association with the modes of material nature for a very long time, even liberated souls sometimes become captivated by the illusory energy due to the inattentiveness in the transcendental position. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. Only those who surrender unto me can overcome the influence of the material energy. Therefore, no one should think of himself as a liberated person immune to the influence of Maya. Everyone should very cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following the regulative principles. Thus, he will remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. We have already seen an example of this in the case of Maharaja Bharata. Maharaja Bharata was undoubtedly a great devotee. But because he turned his attention slightly towards a small deer, he had to suffer two more births, one as a deer and another one as a Brahmana, Jadabharata. Afterward, he was liberated and went back home back to Godhead. The Lord is always prepared to excuse his devotee, but if a devotee takes advantage of the Lord's leniency and purposefully commits mistakes again and again, the Lord will certainly punish him by letting him fall down into the clutches of illusory energy. In other words, theoretical knowledge acquired by studying the Vedas is insufficient to protect one from the clutches of Maya. One must strongly adhere to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service. Then one's position is secure.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishna Vamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagat Tatvate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Yontah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuktam Sanjeevayatya Khila Shakti Dharasvadhamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravanatvagadin Pranam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam
Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this chapter 18 is of the Ilavrata Varsha, where the king Jambudvipa and Bhadrashva Varsha and Bhadrashva Varsha and Bhadrashva Varsha. Yeah, and they were offering their prayers to the Supreme Lord. And they all worship a special incarnation of the Lord called as Hayagriva. And this incarnation of this form of the Lord is very, very dear to one of the great saints in the Madhva Sampradaya called Vadiraja Tirtha also. And he used to actually take darshan of the Lord in this form every day, and he used to make a special preparation with chana dal for him. And that sweet also is called as Hayagriva. It's a special preparation. It's made with jaggery and chana dal, because they feed chana dal to the horses. So the haya griva, haya is the face, the horse face. Haya griva means one who is horse face from the top. He's got a human body from the bottom, but only the top is a horse face. Haya shirsha, shirsha is a head, and haya is the horse. Now, when the king is offering prayers like this, we see in this verse that the king is offering Vadanti Vishvam Kavayasma Nashwaram. Here, the illusory potency of the Lord is glorified. The king is actually appreciating or glorifying the illusory potency of the Lord. And he's also saying, sometimes we know that bewilders are conditioned souls, but sometimes this illusory energy bewilders even the Vipastita. Vipastita means learned scholars, or Atmavido, one who is learned, they also get bewildered from this illusory energy called Tava Aja Maya. You are the unborn one, and your Maya is very bewildering. Now, one may think, why is it even necessary to study Maya? Because why shouldn't we just study Krishna? Why we have to study even Maya? Because Maya is an illusory potency of the Lord. Now, we see in the Ishopanishad also, it is said, one has to study the Sat and the Asat both. It is very important to know your enemy also, in one sense. But Maya is not an enemy in one sense. But we have to know both sides of the coin. Because if you do not know how the enemy is and where from where he can attack, you can't safeguard yourself. So therefore, it is important to know the enemy, and at the same time know the dhyaya or the goal or the abhideya of devotional service or the purpose of knowing Krishna. Now, another aspect to know Krishna also is knowing Krishna is not very easy. Right? They say Krishna is transcendental. Now, how many of us has know exactly what is transcendental? At least for myself, what is transcendental? Have you even seen something transcendental? Have you even experienced something called as transcendental? It's a nice word actually. Transcendental. That which is beyond this material. Okay, it's all in the words. But do we know what that is? What do we mean by transcendental? What do we mean that which is eternal? What is eternal? Have we experienced something called as eternity in this in our mundane experience? So when we go on questioning like this, when we go on analyzing like this, we come to know that every living entity at least has an experience of something called as transcendental. For example, there is absolutely no living entity in this creation who doesn't want to die. They all want to live. So that means their desire to remain alive is transcendental, is eternal. Everybody wants to live. Even a person who is 99.99 years old, even he wants to live. Because he's few more years, let me push a little bit more. So like this, everybody wants to live. So therefore, from inference at least, we can know that there is something called as transcendental. There is a desire which is beyond our normal experience. Everybody has to die, but everybody has this desire that I don't want to die. So where is this desire coming from? So by inference we can know that there is something called as transcendent. There is something called as permanency. Nobody wants to get diseased, nobody wants to die, and nobody wants to become old. So where these desires are coming, because we are all transcendental in one sense. So they are nitya, they are not anitya. Although disease, old age and death, we know we don't want it, but the birth is one thing which we don't realize, because birth is pushed to us and we come up. It's only after birth we realize that we don't want the other three things. But Shastras also say actually you should also not desire for birth. So otherwise we will never know, because the whole root cause of all of these problems that is imposed upon us is because of the janma, the birth. So that is why it becomes very important to know why are we experiencing impermanence, and why is it forced upon us although we desire permanence, and what is that forces upon us this thing? So we have to come to this question or analysis that why is that we have to, we are summons, what is this that is forcing us through this experience? Hence the scriptures and the sages and Bhagavata mentions many places about Maya. So this Maya also is a very nice term. Maya Devi is we see in Rig Veda. So Maya is, this term Maya is referred in many Shastras. Bhagavatam, the Puranas refer it, the Upanishads, the Vedas refer this term Maya, and the sages also refer it many places. Even the Yoga Sutras refer this also. In the Rig Veda itself, there are more than 100 depictions of the word Maya, and many times Maya means different things. So it doesn't just mean the illusory potency of the Lord. So Maya has many other meanings also. Upanishads also talk about Maya. So before even we go in understanding Maya, we have to understand that what is Jiva's predicament in this material world. We all know that Jiva has an inert desire to enjoy. Anandamaya abhyasat. So by our natural position is to enjoy. And when we come to this material world, we desire to enjoy. We desire to enjoy like the Supreme Lord. We want to enjoy like Him. Because he is also Anandamaya Abhyasad. But what happens is, we will always see two people. Certain people will come here and they continue the pursuit of their enjoyment. They'll continue to enjoy, but they will never get satiated. They'll say, I got bored of this, let me go somewhere else and enjoy. Like yesterday morning, I know a few of my colleagues are already crossed the border. They have gone towards the desert to camp in a desert because they knew the lockdown was coming in. So they thought, let me get out of this situation. So they are there. It's called as, I don't know what the desert is called as. It's called as the Great Desert. It's crossing the border of Adelaide. So someone's going and tenting up there. So they know they wanted to escape being at the lockdown. So they want to enjoy a little bit of pleasure somewhere. Now they are going to the desert to get some pleasure. I don't know, only camels can get some pleasure in the desert. Humans, I don't know how they can get pleasure, but they want to try it out. Let's try it out, mate, they say, in Australia. So, Jivas want to enjoy. They want to suck pleasure from somewhere and try to get, maybe I'll be happy here. Maybe I'll go to the desert and suck the cactus and be happy. Maybe I'll go into this ocean and be happy there. So, continuously the Jiva desires to extract happiness from this material world. But what exactly happens is, the moment the Jiva comes here, insatiation also comes with it. Nobody is satiated. And this cyclic nature continues on and on and on for many, many births. As Adi Shankaracharya put,
punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathare shayanam
iti iha samsare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi murare. This material world is bahudustare, it's very difficult, get me out of here. Now, first of all, for someone to come and pray like this, they have to realize that they are in trouble, that this is a bad place. So majority of the jivas do not realize that this is a bad place. They continue to pursue. So at least we have to come to the perspective that this is not a good place to stay. This is not where I belong. So that is why we have to refer the shastras. We were in some preaching program a few months ago, and this person was telling me, I think aap log thoda shastra mein bahut hi ulajh gaye ho. In Hindi, it means you guys are too much entangled in shastras. I said, what makes you think that? He said, why do you say this place is bad? This place is beautiful. What is so bad about this place? I said, what is so beautiful about this place? Everything is beautiful. The nature is beautiful. I am beautiful. You are beautiful. Everybody is beautiful. Then I said, you don't have prashadam. Wait for a few more days and let us see if this beauty remains. You know, when you get hungry and when you don't eat the food, and especially when you see the food, stay hungry, then you will see how beautiful this world is. When the hunger is there and when you can't eat, then you will start cursing that this world is really not beautiful. When everything is hunky-dory, then it's very natural for us to say, everything is nice. Bahut acha hai. So therefore, there is concoction like this going everywhere. And this is called illusion. Or Maya. Prabhupada translates Maya as that which is not. When we say illusion, it doesn't mean Maya is false. Maya is true, but it is false in the sense that its experience is false. In the sense that it is always fleeting. It is always anitya, ashashvatam. So therefore, it is very important to understand from the mouth of the acharyas. Therefore, that's why it's very important to understand the acharyas. So this person, he said, I asked him, have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Nahin, hum bhi Krishna ke hi bhakt hai. I am also a devotee of Krishna only. Oh, very nice. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? I don't have to read Bhagavad Gita. I know him. I said, how do you know him? How do you know anyone without reading or knowing about him? You have to know. I do yoga and I know him. I call him nature. I call him eternity. But why don't you call him Krishna? It's the same. I said, if it's the same, then call him Krishna. No, it is the same. So he didn't want to call him Krishna. He didn't want to read Bhagavad Gita. But he says he's a devotee of Krishna. So these type of illusions consider. So I prayed to him. So for my sake, at least read the book. At least not for your sake. It's very difficult to convince people because even the so-called yoga practitioners, it's very difficult of how these Maya acts. Maya Devi is very interesting. Her mechanisms is very important to understand how she works in this material world. This word Maya, when the jiva comes into this material world, the scriptures say this material world is called as, with so many names, it is called as Bhava Sagara. It is called as Bhava Kupa. Bhava means this material world. Kupa means a deep, dark well. Kupa is well. Or Samsara Sagara, it's called. We sing in the morning. Samsara Dava Nalali Dhaloka Tranaya Karunya Ghana Ghana. Samsara Davanala. It's like a blazing forest fire, they say. First of all, we haven't seen what's a forest fire. We had the opportunity to experience it in Australia a few years back. It's very painful. It's a very burning existence. And the jivas run out of this existence. So many jivas were burnt alive in this forest fire. So hence the scriptures time and again says, this material world is not a good place to stay. We don't belong here. Why? Because it is natural in the experience of jiva that this is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Krishna repeatedly says this is dukkhalayam. This is where alayam, dukkha alayam means it's a place of misery and it is impermanent, ashashvatam. So maya, term maya is actually imposing upon a world for us which is unnatural for this living entity. So scriptures time and again define this in so many places. That is why it is very important to understand what is this Maya. What is this illusory potency of the Lord, and how does it influence the jivas everywhere? That is why Prabhupada also describes that Maya means the moment the jiva has a desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, the moment he Maya envelops him, the moment I want to enjoy away from Krishna. In the third canto also, Vidura says, Krishnad vimukhasya daivad, Krishnasya vimukhasya daivad. When we become vimukhasya to Krishna, vimukhasya daivad, sudukkitasya, they go into deep misery because they turn their faces away from Krishna. This is confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Maya jhapatiya dhari, for them who is away from Krishna, who has turned their faces away from Krishna. So when we study the scripture, the sages go and define Maya in many, many different ways. In fact, Madhvacharya himself has given, in the Bhagavata himself, Madhvacharya explains Maya as 27 to 30 different definitions of Maya. This term Maya. In the Madhva Sampradaya, there is a song which a famous poet called Kanakadasa has compiled. He says, Ni Maya Yolago, ninnolu mayeyo, ni deha tolago, ninnolu dehavo, ni mayeyolago, ninnolu mayeyo. It means that he's telling Krishna, is Maya inside you, or are you inside Maya, or are you inside this deha, or this deha is inside you? I'm completely bewildered. I don't understand. Who are you, Krishna? Now, this is the same predicament which we see in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna was eating mud, Yashoda Maya asked him to open his mouth. When little Krishna opened his mouth, Yashoda Maya, for a moment, she is actually trying to see mud inside Krishna. So Krishna has eaten mud. Now, when he opened his mouth, she could see the entire outer cosmos inside Krishna's mouth. Now this is the same predicament of Yashodamaya. Yashodamaya is thinking, is the whole Brahmanda inside Krishna, or am I and Krishna inside this creation, in this cosmos? So this was her bewilderment. So who are you, Krishna? Are you my son? I can see the entire cosmos inside your mouth. I can see myself inside you, and I can see you, a little Krishna, that I am seeing you inside your mouth. So she was totally bewildered for a while. So it is quite interesting. So therefore, Maya is defined with so many different terminologies. Maya also means Ichha, or the desire. Desire of the Lord also, and desire of the Jiva. Maya, Krishna says, I want to create. He wills that I want to create this entire creation. And because he desires, this entire creation is created. Pradhana, Mahatattva, and the three modes of material nature obey the order of the Lord and then create. But at the same time, the same Maya also is the desire of the Jiva. The Jiva wants to enjoy this material world. He is pushed under the garb of Maya. So Maya means so many different things. So it's the Ichha of the Jiva. It is the Ichha of the Lord. Maya also means the Swarupa of the Lord, the Swarupa Shakti, the Antaranga Shakti, the innate potency of the Lord. It's also called as Maya. For example, we see Krishna says, Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan sambhavami atmamaya prakritim swam adhishthaya sambhavami atmamaya. Krishna says, I appear millennium after millennium. Ajopisan, ajapisan, I am unborn, yet I appear. How do I appear? I appear because of my yoga maya, because of my internal potency I appear. So there is, Maya also means the antaranga shakti of the Lord. And again, Maya means so many different things. Maya means kripa, Maya means dambha or deceit, Maya means intelligence, Maya means ego also. We saw in the song that Adi Shankaracharya wrote, you know, iti iha samsare bahudustare kripaya pare pahi murare. Now, come and remove pahi murare. Krishna's name is called Murari because he killed the Mura demon. But Mura also means ego. Do you all remember something we eat which is also called as Mura? It's called puffed rice. the rice is puffed because it's got a lot of ego. So Krishna comes and kills the Murari, Mura demon. So Mura means ego also. So one who destroys our false ego is called Murari. Murari, one who removes our false ego is also called Murari. So Maya also means deceit or dambha or pride. So it brings us pride, it brings us deceit. And Maya also means intelligence. It's because of Yoga Maya only we can know Krishna. And how do we know Krishna? To know Krishna, we need the influence of Yoga Maya. Without the influence, because bhakti is not an aspect of any other energy. Bhakti is a pure existence in Antaranga Shakti of the Lord. Bhakti means it is a realm of Antaranga Shakti. So if you have to know Krishna, we have to execute the process of bhakti. Therefore, bhakti, the process itself, is transcendental. So therefore, in that sense, Maya also means intelligence, which reveals us Krishna. So Maya has so many different connotations. And Krishna also says, I am not manifest to those who are unintelligent. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavratah mudho naam mudho yam abhijanati nabhijanati lokomam ajamavyayam. I am not manifest to such mudhas who and I cover them with yogamaya. Yogamaya samavratah. I cover them. So therefore I am not manifest to them. So when we go and when we try to understand this Maya a little deeper, we all know that there are two Mayas. What are they? Yoga Maya and Maha Maya. Right? This material world is said to be the reflection of the spiritual world. So when there is sun has two other aspects of sun. What is that? Sun has a reflection. Sun creates reflection, and sun also creates a. Absence of sun also creates darkness. So there are two things, darkness and shadow, darkness and reflection. So there are two aspects of the sun. Both are non-existent without the sun. So sun, because sun exists, darkness doesn't exist. So they are interrelated. In the same way, a reflection exists because sun exists. There is sun, therefore there is reflection. If I turn towards the sun, I cannot see my reflection. If I turn away from the sun, I can see my reflection. So therefore, Maya has these two potencies. One is Yoga Maya and one is Maha Maya. The Maha Maya is a reflection of the Yoga Maya. Therefore, this material world's reality is called Yoga Maha Maya. Now this Maha Maya, again, we know about Yoga Maya. It's Antaranga potency, and we have the three Shaktis. Yoga Maya is a repository of three Shaktis, which is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Alhadini Sandhini Samvit Tvai Eka Sarva Samasthitav Ahlada Tapakari Mishra Tvai No Gunavarjite. Now, the three potencies we have read, which is another subject matter. Alhadini, Samvit, and Sandhini Shakti, which governs the spiritual world predominantly. This Sandhini Shakti of the Supreme Lord also creates the material world, which is the 1/4 manifestation of the material world, because it's Dharana Shakti with which the material world is created, which is a Sandhini Shakti. Sandhini Shakti is one of the, it creates, it holds. Now, keeping Yoga Maya aside for a moment, coming to Mahamaya. Mahamaya also has two classifications. What are they? Broadly, they are classified as Jiva Maya and Gudamaya. Gudamaya vino. Daihi esha gudamai mamamaya duratyaya. Mamevaye prapadyante mayametam tarantate. That maya is called gudamai. Gudamai also is the consort of the Lord. It is pradhana. So when the Lord desires, so when a husband desires, the wife cooks. In the same way, when the Lord desires, pradhana starts manifesting. So pradhana, mahatattva, and the three modes of material nature in their very orchestration, mishra, you see. Ahlada tapakari mishra. So when the mixing of the modes happens, this material world starts manifesting. From the Tamasa Ahankara, we see from Tamasa Ahankara comes the three modes and how each of the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the devatas, and all of this is created. This is all explained in the second and the third canto in very detail. Now, what is Jiva Maya then? This Jiva Maya, the moment the Jiva thinks, I want to forget Krishna. I am the center of this existence. The moment I think I want to enjoy away from Krishna, Krishna throws something called as Avaranatmika. It's called as covering potency. Krishna Prabhupada calls this as the covering potency of the Lord. It covers, it's almost like a dark blanket put on us. You know, there is so much light. Somebody puts a very thick blanket on top of us. We become covered. Covered from what? Covered from our original constitutional position. You know, when in your backyard, I don't know if you have grown a lawn in the backyard. If you don't grow a proper lawn, weeds grow all the time. So for weeds should not grow, we put a thick black blanket, plastic blanket, so that we cover the land with a black blanket, so that there is no sunshine that can percolate inside to the soil. So in the same way, avaranatmika shakti, the moment the jiva desires, because the jiva has this free will, whether I want to become antarmukha or bahirmukha. The moment I want to become bahirmukha, immediately he is covered by this avarna. Avaran means one which is covered, avaranatmika potency. The moment I think I want to forget Krishna, Krishna vimukhasya daiva. The moment I become viparita mukha, away from Krishna, the energy envelops me, avaranatmika shakti. And then what happens? What is the purpose I wanted to go away from Krishna? I wanted to enjoy like Krishna. But I cannot enjoy like Krishna, therefore I am pushed into this material world. So I have to enjoy the material objects. But I actually, my constitutional position doesn't allow me to enjoy the material objects, because I am spirit by nature, I am transcendental by nature. So therefore, how can I enjoy this jadavastu, which is the inferior potency of the Lord? So to allow me to enjoy matter, Krishna throws another potency which is called as prakshepatmika shakti. Prakshepa atmika. Prakshepa means that which is mistaken. So I will mistake that this matter can give me pleasure. Because I have forgotten Krishna, he covers me, and then this is called as throwing potency. This potency throws me into this material world, and I will have a feeling that I can enjoy matter. So this is called jiva maya. Then we come to the guna maya. Now guna maya, we know how the three modes interact with each other, how these three modes influence our everything, our speech, our sense of touch, all our matra. Matras, parshastu, kaunteya, sita, ushna, sukha, dukkada. Everything that we do is colored by maya. This guna maya has a unique feature. One is she fulfills the desires of the Lord, and at the same time she fulfills the desires of the jiva also. Now what desires are there? These desires are to enjoy the material nature. If a jiva in the form of a pig wants to enjoy fresh morning stool, the Mahamaya will say, please go ahead. We see in Barsana, when we have to climb the hill to see Radharani, we see a lot of pigs in the gutter, and they are very happy, they are blissful. One sleeping on the other, and they are also in trance. So why? And this is because of the gunamayi. To say, okay, you want less pleasure? Okay, take it. So Mahamaya envelops the jiva with this guna, and because it is mode of ignorance, the jiva thinks. And the moment you give a banana dipped in honey, the pig says, very bad, I don't want it. I am happy with my fresh MS. So like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, This is due to the condition, and such gunamayi conditions the jiva to derive pleasure out of his desires. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains a story where there was a beggar outside the temple, and he had not eaten for many days, and he was so hungry that he went into the temple and started hugging a pillar, because when you press the belly a little bit, when you are hungry, you tend to press the belly because there is a lot of gas inside. So you press the belly so that the gas can escape. So he started hugging the pillar, and he felt some relief. Oh, my stomach pain is going away. And then he was cursing, oh, I have not eaten from so many days, and he was hugging the pillar. And just then when Mataji was going away after offering bhoga, so she was carrying some puffed rice with her. So then he asked him, would you like to have some puffed rice? You seem very hungry. But this guy had hugged the pillar. Now his pain has been alleviating because of the hugging of the pillar. He says, yes, I want to eat. Please give me something. Then she said, yeah, take it. No, I can't leave the pillar. It's very painful. So then she said, how can I give you? You have to eat. If you eat, your pain will go. No, I can't leave the pillar. So you give me the puffed rice here in my hands. But how will you eat? Because your pillar is in between. No, you give me, I'll try to manage. So he takes it and he spills it all out. So jiva's condition is like that even though that puffed rice or that prasadam can alleviate his hunger, he's happy with the alleviation that the pillar is giving him. So in the same way, the jivas are so enveloped in the situation that I'm getting so much happiness here, I'm happy here. This happened to Indra also. Indra was here, Indra was cursed to become a hog in this material world, and when Brahma came back to take him back, Indra said, look at my wife, look at my little children. Brahmaji, how can I leave them and come? I am Mr. Pig and this is Mrs. Pig. Mr. and Mrs. Pig and have some piglets. I can't come. I'm happy here. So the jiva, based on the conditioning, gets enveloped by this Mahamaya. This is called Gunamaya. There's another story where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in a place called Rangoon. This is near Burma. In Rangoon, he and his disciples were cooking fresh bhoga for the Lord with very fragrant ghee. The in and out of villages nearby came and complained. They complained that we can't withstand the perfume or the fragrance of ghee. Why are you cooking with such obnoxious oil? We cook with some other oil, and that oil is, they rot the rotting flesh of animals, and then the fat that is accumulated, they eat that, and that is very fragrant for them because they are conditioned to think like this. They couldn't tolerate the fragrant ghee, whereas they were accustomed or conditioned for that obnoxious smell of rotting flesh. So the Gunamai conditions jiva like this. So this is the two shaktis of the Lord and how the Gunamai influences. Krishna says that mamamaya duratyaya, daivihi eshi gunamai mamamaya duratyaya. Duratyaya means it is actually impossible to overcome this influence of gunas. It is actually impossible. So the only way to overcome this is mam eva ye prapadyante. Only by surrendering unto me one can overcome this strong foothold of gunamai. Otherwise it is impossible to overcome. In the Yoga Vashishtha also there is a very beautiful example of how a person is chased by a tiger. I know you all heard the story. Yeah? He's chased by a tiger and then suddenly he falls into a well. When he falls into a well, he holds on to a root of a tree. And then he is hanging there, and the lion is, or the tiger is looking from the top to eat him. So he's so afraid, then he thinks, let me go down to the bottom of the well so that I'll be saved from this tiger. So then he starts descending, and then he looks down and he sees a big python there at the bottom of the well. So now he's stuck. He can't go up, he can't go down. And then just then, when he's thinking, at least I'm safe in between, I'll wait until the tiger goes away, then he sees on the top that there is a white and a black rat which is chewing on the root quickly, very quickly the root is being cut. And he says, oh my God! And he's feeling, oh, very quickly the root is being cut and I'll either fall down or I have to get out of this well, right? So, this is exactly the predicament of a jiva. The white and the black rat is basically the day and night. The day and night is udyan asthan. Every sunrise and sunset, one day is being reduced. We are going closer and closer to death. We don't realize that. The tiger at the top is basically death waiting to devour, and the python at the bottom is actually the kalasar, the time which is slowly reducing my lifespan. Right at that moment, on the same tree there was a honey, the beehive, honey beehive, and then due to some reason the honey was dripping down and it fell on this guy's face and he started licking it. He said, at least in this horrendous situation, let me take some pleasure of the honey. It's so nice, and he's taking that much pleasure there. Let me eat some honey. So this is the predicament of the jiva, that despite he's in such precarious condition, he's trying to juice or extract punah punah charvita charvanana. He is trying to extract some rasa out of this material world. So time and again, Shastras say this, and Prabhupada says this in the Bhagavad Gita, in this purport, this mameva ye prapadyante maya metam taratite. But what is very interesting in this verse is the king is saying even liberated souls fall down sometimes. How is that? We see time and again in the scriptures it is explained that this maya is so strong. We saw in the second canto, just before the visarga, just before Brahmaji was supposed to start the creation, Brahmaji says, please save me from mode of passion. He says, please save me, because he is aware of the maya potency of God. Please save me. And yet we see in the 10th canto, Brahma was bewildered. Brahma Vimohan Lila. Because he wanted to test Krishna. So he started testing Krishna. So Brahma gets bewildered. Brahma gets bewildered by Vak also. So why is that these exalted personalities also get bewildered? Prabhupada says that there is a difference. The difference is when the conditioned souls get bewildered from maya, they become Krishna Vimukasya Daiva. They become separate from Krishna. They become averse to Krishna. But when the liberated souls deter or become influenced by Maya, their appreciation of Krishna and Krishna's multifarious energies increase multifold. So their bewilderment take them closer to Krishna. The conditioned souls' bewilderment take them away from Krishna. In this, there is a beautiful story between Vedavyasa and Jaimini Rishi. Vedavyasa exactly is dictating a very similar verse there. So he is dictating that even great philosophers will get bewildered. Jaimini Rishi is trying to note down in his notes in his classroom. He's sitting in a classroom because Jaimini is the propounder of Mimamsa Sutras. Mimamsa is a philosophy among the Shad Darshanas in the Sanatana Dharma Siksha. Jaimini says, "I've got a question, sir, Prabhuji." And Vedavyasa says, "What is that? You said that liberated souls know Krishna very nicely. They are dedicated to Krishna. But your line that you have explained, no, I can't understand. You are saying even they can get bewildered from Maya. How do you want me to write this? I can't write it. I have not understood how this can happen. Because we know Maya, we know the potency of Krishna, we know how she can bewilder us, and we are dedicated to Krishna. Yet you are saying they fall down. I don't believe it." Jaimini says. Then Vedavyasa smiles. He says, "Okay, you don't make a note of it now. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's discuss about it tomorrow." So the day finishes, Jaimini goes back to his ashram. That night, what happens? There is a big thunderstorm. When there is a thunderstorm, Jaimini is doing his evening activities of oblations and everything. And then he hears a woman scream loudly. He hears a loud screaming. He says, "Help, help." Then he opens his kutir's window and he sees there is lightning happening. And in that lightning, he sees a beautiful woman standing outside. And in that lightning, he sees the beauty of the woman. But his sage's mentality is still intact. He says, "Well, who is that?" he shouts. And the woman saying, "I don't know where to go. I'm stuck in this thunderstorm. Can you please save me? I might get killed from this lightning." Jaimini says, "Okay, you can come in my ashram and rest for tonight. I'll give you ashray or shelter." So he opens the door and she comes in. And he says, "You go into that room and lock yourself in. You should make sure that you lock yourself. Lock and do not open the door at any cost. Even if Jaimini comes and knocks on the door, don't open it." He says, he tells her, "Even if I come and knock on the door, you should not open. Now go and lock yourself inside. Tomorrow morning you can go out when the storm is receded." So the woman agrees. She goes in. She locks the door. And midnight has passed. Jaimini is about to sleep. When he's sleeping, he can't sleep. He's flipping his turn from here and there. Why? Because that scene of lightning and seeing the beauty of the woman in that lightning is coming back to his head. And he's saying, "What if I settle down, get married? After all, I'm living alone. Vedavyasa also is married. I am not married. I also better get married. Probably this is the divine arrangement of the Lord." So he goes, he gets up and knocks. He knocks on the door of this woman. He says, "Excuse me, can you come out?" She says, no, I cannot open the door." He says, "What? I was the one who gave you shelter. Come on, open the door. I want to talk to you." She says, no, I cannot open the door. I've been instructed not to open the door." Jaimini says, "No, it is me who has given you shelter. I am Jaimini. Open the door." She says, "Jaimini has told me that even Jaimini comes and knocks on the door, I should not open the door." So then he says, no, you have to. So he argues, there is a verbal battle. And he says, "I guarantee you that there is something very important I have to talk to you. So you please come out, we need to talk." So the lady then agrees, she opens the door. Then he says, "Look, I'm a great sage. I need to get married. And I have said that you are the only eligible woman that I have to get married to. So let us get married," he says. Then the woman says, "I would be very fortunate if I get married to you. You are such a great elevated sage. But I have a vow." "What is the vow?" "My vow is I will only marry the person who carries me on his back all the way to the Durga temple, which is across the hill. And then there in the Durga temple, I will marry you." Jaimini says, "Oh, that's okay. That's not a problem. I'm a great sage. I can." So I have to become a donkey. He has to crawl on his four legs and make her sit on his back and walk to 2 kilometers to Durga temple. And then she will agree to marry him. Jaimini says, "Okay." Now this is the predicament of jivas. Jiva in pursuit of some desire, he is happy. Jaimini is such a great sage, a student of Vedavyasa, Badarayana himself, Badarayana Rishi himself. He is happy to become and crawl like a donkey or a dog for a woman to get married, for one desire that he wanted to get married. He's forgotten his constitutional position that he is such a great sage. This is the same position of a Jiva that we forget and we get enveloped in this samsara saga. Then the woman sits on his back and he says, although it is very painful to carry someone on a back for 2 kilometers, it is not just, you know, like a child. She was a grown-up lady. And he was carrying, and she was a fat lady also. She was fat as well. So it was difficult for him to carry. And yet he was experiencing no pain. Saying, this is easy. After all, I'm going to get married. So his desire to get married is driving him to go through these pains. Just like a husband or a male goes to work and he's saying, one day, you know, at the end of the month, I'll get that salary, that sweet money which is sweeter than honey. I'll work hard and I'll salivate while working hard day and night to please my boss. So Jaimini carried the woman and he reached the Durga temple. By then, it was almost dawn, you know, it's almost in the morning. He could faintly see the woman dressed in white. The woman gets off his back and then he says, now I have carried you, I will marry. For a moment, he sees the woman has a beard. Says, where did you have a beard? Then he notices, and then by then the sun is a little arising and he says, he's got a mustache also. You've got a mustache, you've got a beard and a mustache, who is this? And then the son, when he sees closer, it's actually his own guru, Vedavyasa, standing there. Oh, Guru Maharaj, it's you. Yes, you stupid. So now you understand that even great scholars can fall down. Yes, my Guru Maharaj, I understand. I am happy to make that notes now. So now, okay, now let us go back to the ashram and mind. So such elevated Jiva, so this was a lesson taught by Badarayana Rishi to his disciple Jaimini, that even great souls can fall down. So therefore, in the Kevalashtakam, it is said that one has to be very careful in this material world. Abrahmastham bapariyantam sarvam mayamayam jagat satyam satyam punasatyam harer namaiva kevalam. In the Kevalashtakam, it is said that everything, abhrahma sthamba paryantam, from the satya loka to the patala loka, everything sarvam mayamayam jagat. Everything is made of maya. So to save from maya, there is only one kevalam. What is that? Harer nam kevalam. Harer nam eva kevalam. So there is only one way, is to chant the holy names of the Lord. So therefore, time and again the Shastra says, Janasya Krishnad Vimukhasya Daivad. To get out of this Vimukhasya mentality, Prabhupada has established this preaching mission called as ISKCON. This is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you really see, as we spoke about the Gunamayi Tattva, the mode of material nature, Prabhupada has established, how do we get out of the Gunamayi Shakti? How do we escape from the Gunas? Prabhupada has given us the four regulative principles. By following the four regulative principles, we are careful not to go back to mode of passion or mode of ignorance. How do we get out of the Avarnatmika Shakti? How to remember Krishna always? Chanting and reading the Shastras. Bhutani Bhavya Anugrahena Charanti Nunam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardhanasya. The great sages like Srila Prabhupada wander around us in this universe and give us his sublime books. By studying these books, we do not forget Krishna. We remember Krishna. By chanting his holy names, we remember Krishna. So, by this divine arrangement, by attending the morning program in the temple, we try to remember Krishna. And all of this is possible only by meditating on our spiritual master, Guru, by serving the Guru. So, therefore, I'll conclude that the only way to escape this influence of Maya, the Gunamayi Shakti, the Jiva Maya Shakti, and to enter into under the shelter of Yoga Maya. See, Jiva has to surrender unto one of the Mayas. Either he has to be under Mahamaya or he has to be under Yoga Maya. To get into Yoga Maya, we have to start executing devotional service. The moment we execute devotional service, naturally Mahamaya's grip loosens. Therefore, I've always seen some people say, we see people say this, Prabhuji, I have seen the Mayavadis are so peaceful. They're always so peaceful. Hum log bahut shant rehte hain, they say. We are all very shant. But we see sometimes devotees fighting, devotees creating rift amongst themselves, devotees sometimes screaming. So it is very bewildering for newcomers to see this. That is because Mahamaya tests the devotees. It is because she is testing the devotees get bewildered. This test doesn't happen to Mayavadis because they are already in Maya. They don't have to be tested because they are already safe. Mahamaya tests the devotee because it is the devotee who is trying to get out of the clutches of Maya. Therefore he is exhibited to test. Therefore he gets bewildered. Therefore you will see all these rifts happening between devotees, and therefore you have to very quickly rectify it very quickly. Therefore, when somebody was asking me this question, why do we see that the devotees sometimes get angry, devotees sometimes get sad? That is because they are trying to escape Maya. For others, they are not trying to escape Maya, they are always already in Maya. So Mahamaya is not worried about them. She is worried especially those who is trying to escape the prison. Hence the tests are subjected to those Maya. Hence it is very important we take complete shelter of bhakti potency or the bhakti shakti of the Lord. When we take bhakti shelter, then naturally Mahamaya's potency's grip is loosened. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo anyatra chaisa viraktir anyatra cha esha trika eka kalaha. When we go to bhakti, virakti and pareshanubho, paraishanubho means a direct experience of the Lord, and virakti, that is detachment from matter, automatically happens when we do bhakti. Three eka kalaha. When we execute bhakti, detachment from material nature and direct perception of the Supreme Lord happens directly. It's quite interesting because In Hindi, it is called pareshan. You got the word pareshan? Pareshan, they say, is difficulty or entanglement. But actually, tattenukampam susamikshamano. When difficulties come, it is Krishna who comes. Pareshan is derived from the word para-isha anubhava. Para-isha is what? Krishna. Pareshan means I'm actually experiencing Krishna. So actually, Urdu also has the word para-isha anubhava. But para-isha means, pareshan means actually direct perception of Krishna. And that is what Bhagavatam says, tattenu kampam susamikshamana. You have come to me as difficulty. Kunti Devi also prays the same thing, that please give me difficulties all the time so that I can remember. So para-isha anubhava can be, the experience of Krishna can be felt directly by executing bhakti under the shelter of yoga maya, which is the three potencies, which is sandhini, samvit and the Alhadini potency of the Lord. So I will stop here. If there are any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Thank you for the interesting class, nice class. Thank you. Now, just one comment and then I'll ask a question that about the word Parishan. Also, just one of the prerequisites to come to bhakti as well.
Yes.
So it's actually good fortune.
Yes, it is good fortune.
That's the comment. And the question is, we have that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita about what is kama and what is prema. If you engage in satisfying Krishna senses, that's prema. And if we engage in satisfying our senses, that's kama. My question is there an in between? For example, kama mishra, when you cook for the Lord, but you want to eat, you cook what you want.
Yeah.
So kind of.
There is no in between. There is just fluctuation. There is just fluctuation. We fluctuate between kama and prema. There is no in between. So even karma mishra bhakti, when we desire to offer something to the Lord that we want to eat, it is still mishra, but because we are offering it to the Lord, it gets purified. That is the very initial stages of bhakti. But it is karma mishra means you are doing bhakti in the sense of ritualistic offering to the Lord. So therefore you are removed of the sins, but at the same time I have a desire to eat something. So there is still aham mameti principle governing that particular offering. So there is not shuddha bhakti in those terms, but it is still good because at least they are going to the Supreme Lord. But there is no in-between situation. either I am self obsessed or I am Krishna obsessed. That obsession of Maya Devi is still, it's self obsession only. It is aham amiti, because either I have to be Krishna conscious or I have to be self conscious.
So, for example, bringing in more of goodness, would that be?
It is also self conscious. If somebody is in a mode of goodness, he is governed by the principle of happiness and peace. It is nice for him. Some people start chanting and they say, this chanting is giving me so much peace of mind. But that's not the purpose of chanting in one sense. So, mode of goodness also is another governing principle for us. That mode of goodness in this material world, which is devoid of Krishna, is also tainted by mode of passion and ignorance. Because there is nothing called as pure goodness here. Pure goodness means that is Krishna. Shuddha Sattva means Krishna consciousness only. So that activity which is done to please Krishna only can be called as goodness in one sense. Otherwise it is still tainted. It is still Mishra in one sense. Thank you. We will stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Actually, I have to also mention that there is a book written by His Holiness Purushottam Swami Maharaj. He has written a book called Maya. So whatever I spoke is actually from his book. So if you have not got that book, it's a good book, an interesting book. He's written a separate book on Maya. Maharaj says he actually reads his own book many times. So such is the complexity of this this Maya Devi and Maya Shakti. So I just wanted to actually thank Maharaj for giving me this opportunity to read from his book and talk from his book. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti vai.